Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, November 14th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 42, the first paragraph, two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous, ending, "That I could do the job myself." And we're going to be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Lois P., 12 Traditions, Terry H., Reader of the Text, Connie T., Reggie O. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Lois P. The reference number for Sunday, November 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,636. That's 19,636. And for this morning, Monday, November 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,638. That's 19638. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you. Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 11, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Dawn, for all that you do. My name is Terry H., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 42, the first paragraph, where it starts, two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous, ending, that I could do the job myself. And we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Connie T. to read and share with us.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. This is Connie T., recovered in South Central Pennsylvania. Two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned, which I didn't like so much, and then asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked this time. I had to concede both propositions. They piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality, such as I had exhibited in Washington, was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. And, you know, we're reading about Fred and his story. And the first thing I wrote in my Big Book when I first heard about Fred was I wrote, I am Fred. I had all the reason in the world not to compulsively eat. And, you know, a great job and a good family and yada, 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 and did all that. But yet I just kept killing myself with food. I looked up the word mentality, and it says that it's a characteristic attitude of mind or a way of thinking of a person or a group. And the two questions that they asked Fred, if he thought himself alcoholic and was he really licked, these are the two questions in this, not exactly in those words, but pretty much in those words that I ask when I start working with a new sponsee. First, you know, are you really a compulsive overeater? You know, because we can only diagnose ourselves. Nobody else can do that for us. We have to believe that we are. And then, are you out of ideas? You know, that's another way of saying, are you really licked this time? Because I know for me, I had to run out of all the other ways. And I spent 35 years researching and trying every single thing I could until I finally, crawled into OA and admitted it, that I was beat. The food had me. But the knowledge I had, Fred had a lot of knowledge too, and thought this could never happen to him. I mean, he learned all this stuff about alcoholism, and he said he appreciated the ideas about the subtle insanity, and he was confident it wasn't going to happen to him. And then, yep, here he goes with no thought at all, just going off and getting a blackout drunk, you know? And that was me with the food. I mean, it was insane. And I just would have no thought at all. I had no defense at all. The good news about this is, okay, when we get to this point, at least when I got to this point where I admitted I was licked and this was it, I could not do it, there also was that hope. Okay, other people have done this. Other people found the answer. There's no reason why I couldn't have that answer too. But I had to come to the end of myself with no ideas left at all. And I'm really glad that I did. That desperation and the snuffing out the last flicker of conviction that I had was my first step in having that hope that someday I could recover. And I thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Connie T., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Larry G. from California.
Jamie from Southern California. Jamie.
Robin T. in Florence, Italy.
Okay. I have Robin P., I have Jamie M., and I have Larry G.
Teresa C.
Monica B.
Teresa C. And who is that other name? Monica?
Veronica B.
Oh, Veronica B. Okay, let's go ahead and stop there. I have Larry G., Jamie M., Robin P., Teresa C., and Veronica B. Larry G., please get us started.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. My name's Larry G., and I'm from California. Love the reader who kicked this off, and I'm going to listen to it again. It was really well done. Oh, God, I love this. I love Bill's writing, Last Flicker of Hope. When you consider this guy, all he did before he wrote the big book was writing stock reports. I don't know about you, but to me, this is divine intervention, divinely written. It's guiding his pen. Last Flicker of Hope. I'm a backpacker, right? I do a lot of backpacking, and one time I was out 150 miles, 175 miles from a trailhead, and severe weather came in, and I had two matches left, and the first match blew out, and I was down to my last flicker of hope. I had to have some more because it was dropping below 30 degrees fast, and I was terrified. I didn't know if I was going to make it out, and obviously that I did. I'm here to tell the story, but that really defines where I was on May 17th, 2020. I had the last flicker of hope was to call out to God. I mean, I was done. I had done the very best I could, you know, and I tried everything. I tried everything on my own. I was just not willing to stop fighting and resisting. And on May 17th, I sat in this living room that I'm standing in right now. It's 115 degrees, 114 degrees here in Sacramento. Air conditioned, hardly could keep up, and I had just come off of a 40,000 calorie binge on Friday. I just ate, had four dinners on Sunday night, and I was sick as a dog, and I was sweating. It's like an alcoholic. I was sweating. It was coming to my pores, and I was so sick, and all I could do was just get on my knees. I was done. I asked God to either take me, or take this obsession away, and I'm here to tell a story, and that was my last flicker of hope. But what about today? You know, do I still hang on the last flicker of hope? Absolutely, there's. I'm constantly refining my recovery. I'm a hardhead, and I still continue today to try to do things my will. But here's the difference: is that I know the warning signs today because my head is cleared up. I've been coming to meetings daily, Monday through Friday. Since then, being sponsored, calling new people, you know, giving service. And today, when I have those warnings, those red flags, I heed them today. That's the difference. But, you know, it I don't think this is ever going to be, I'm going to be completely recovered from the last flicker of hope. I think that the day I take my last breath, I will have to be vigilant, because this is one of my character defects. It's overconfidence, doing it my way. Anyway, thank you, moderator, and be well, everybody. Have the best Monday ever. I pass it back to you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Jamie M., please share with us, followed by Robin P.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Jamie M., compulsive overeater here in Southern California. What a great topic. You know, for me, basically, I am a compulsive eater. I am an alcoholic with food. One is too many, a thousand's not enough. And probably about almost 7 years ago, I hit my last bottom. I had, you know, played in the program at some times where I was absent, but it took what it took to get me to that bottom. And like the back of my hand, I will never forget it. I was so hopeless. And by the grace of God, my neighbor was in AA, and he slipped the third step prayer under the door in my apartment. His wife was in our program, and I don't know why I got out of bed, but I did. My life started to change. I started to get more hopeful. I started to like myself. I started to work this program. Well, recently, I've had some finances and personal issues, and I realized I started to pick up other behavior lately. And it wasn't the food, it wasn't anything else. It was more, a little more of exercise and a little more of healthy eating. Well, I beg God to please help me with this, but I take no action. I'm sponsoring, I'm not picking up food, I'm doing everything possible. But for some reason, the fear started to set in my life. New boyfriend, new start, all this stuff I let take over slowly and slowly, that disease slipped in. And yesterday was my big wake-up call. I had a problem, and God gave me what I needed, a kick in the butt. I'd been asking for it, but I wasn't willing. And let me tell you, it came a three-legged stool. I started being an exercise bulimia almost again and a healthy freak eating. And let me tell you something, it was the best bottom I hit. It wasn't fully. I didn't pick up food, didn't pick up anything. So today I restarted over in a different way of my program. I get up every day, I read the On the Awakening, and I started to connect back where I belong, in the middle of the bus. I is an illness. I is an illness. We is a wellness. And now I'm back, and I'm starting to feel better again. I connected with God. I'm working my program. I still sponsor. But that old behavior that starts to sneak in, that I can control everything and drive that bus, came crashing down, and I am more than grateful. Because I started to make my calls, I started to get hope again. Here you are. This is who you're supposed to be. You love this. You love OA. I mean, you're going to the birthday party. You can't wait with your new boyfriend who you took from Florida. What a gift. Being part of a fellowship of people. I made two calls, and you know what's amazing? They get me. This is my family. This is my way of life. And I pray every day. As I start over, I have to commit different things back to my sponsor because I'm worth it. So if you're new, you're worth it. Keep coming. It does happen. If it can happen to me, let me tell you something. I believe it can happen to others. And I love to give back. Thank you for letting me share. Thanks for listening. I appreciate all of you. God bless. Beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Jamie M. from California. Robin P., please share with us, followed by Teresa C.
Hi, this is Robin T., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in Florence, Italy, and I'm so grateful for this meeting and every meeting. And, you know, it's just the definition of insanity, doing that same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, and just being shocked every time. This time I knew I had it, you know, and I'm just so grateful to be abstinent. I've been abstinent for almost 7 years by God's grace, one day at a time. And, you know, it's just the willingness to go to any length. And, you know, it's just such a wee program. I'm traveling through Europe. We're doing 22 cities in 3 months. And I'm doing it with all of you, you know, with my God squad and my sponsor, my amazing sponsor. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. It's it's really the willingness to live in the steps and turn my will and my life over to the care of God and live in 10, 11, and 12. And I'm so grateful for the 10-step groups and for everything that I, it feels like, you know, every day I just get to get up and turn my will and my life over to the care of God and then have another amazing adventure in another city. And I put my abstinence first by God's grace. You know, I pray for potatoes, but dig with the hoe. You know, I do my part. And one of those things is that we go to the, we find that I'm a organic, gluten-free vegan, and we find food everywhere we go. It's really important. And my husband's such a blessing. You know, he knows how important it is to me. And it's part of the self-care of this journey, this pilgrimage that we're on. So thank you all. I'm so grateful for all of you, and I'm so grateful for all the people that I'm connecting also with in Europe. And I'm sending you all big hugs. God bless you. It's a very abstinent, blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Italy. Teresa C., please share with us, followed by Veronica B. And if you're just joining us, we're on page 42, talking about that first paragraph, starting with two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous, ending with, that I could do the job myself. So Teresa C., please share with us, and Veronica B. will follow her, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning, everyone. This is Teresa C. I'm calling from New Jersey, and I'm a compulsive, recovered, grateful overeater. The part that I like is at the beginning of the paragraph. I just kind of picture this scene of somebody, you know, and, you know, two guys coming in and they grinned, which I didn't like so much. That just to me symbolizes the camaraderie of the program and the fellowship that's there, because these two guys, they've been there, they know what's going on, and they're just like, yeah, okay, here we are. What do you think now? You know, where are you now in how your life is going? What do you think? And we're here for you. That's what they're saying too, is we're here and we're here for you. And the fellowship of the program means so much to me. It meant to me. I've been to various 12-step programs before this as a visitor and as a qualifier. And I always, there was something that just kept bringing me back to 12-step programs and really helped me in my progress, you know, of recovery. Because for many years, I was there. I had the willingness to recover, but I didn't get it. I just didn't get it. And, of course, there were times when I wondered if I would really ever get it. Was I one of those few unfortunate? But I kept saying, you know what? I'm showing up, because even if I don't get it, my life is still better than what it was before. I honestly can say now that I can use the word recovered and feel good about it. I always say, you know, I'm not cured, but I'm recovered. And I'm recovered for today. I don't know what tomorrow has in store for me. I'm praying that I, you know, continue to have that spiritual connection that keeps me recovered. I continue, as other people have said, and by the way, I want to just thank everybody on the line that shared such beautiful shares. It's really inspiring. I just feel that willingness has always been there, and because of the service that people do, and you know, you're here with the meeting, it's always available to me. How fortunate am I and other compulsive overeaters that we have so many resources that we can go to. I just know that you're here every day. And I so appreciate that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Teresa C. from New Jersey. Veronica B., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Veronica B. in California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. Thank you so much for your service. This paragraph for me represents a couple of things. These two men that go speak to Fred, they grin because they have been where he is. They know his struggle, but they're grinning because they know what the solution is, and they're living the solution. And they've had a spiritual awakening, and they are happy, and they're joyful in their new way of living, being recovered and living in the steps. And I like what it mentions. A couple of things I really love. It talks about the hopeless condition. My compulsive eating, what I have is a hopeless condition of not only allergy of the body, but I suffer from an obsession of the mind and this mental twist. Like, I forget how bad things were when I was in my disease. And like, I talk myself into, it's okay to have, you know, that dessert or the slice of pizza if things aren't going away, are not going my way, or if I'm not relying on God, if I'm not relying on the power that I got from working these steps. Because I have a hopeless condition on my own, like, I cannot stay recovered. On my own, I do not reap the rewards that God gives me in the day on my own. I need a lot of help. I need to ask God for help multiple times in the day, because I am human and I will make mistakes, and I need God to help me get back on track. And that's what being recovered is like, continuously staying connected to God and doing the best I can today without beating myself up for, you know, mistakes that I do. But that my God is a forgiving God, and that, you know, there is hope in these rooms. And this is the only place where I've been able to find the hope that I need to stay recovered is, you know, nobody understands me like another compulsive overeater. They know my suffering like nobody else knows my suffering. They understand me like nobody else understands me. And that's the power of that I get here in these rooms, and that I get when I connect with other compulsive eaters. There's nothing like it in the world, and I'm so grateful that I know what the solution is and that I'm living in the solution. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. And now I'm going to open up the lines to take the names of more people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Beth P. from Hawaii.
Jaylene from Idaho.
Okay, I heard Beth P., I think, from Hawaii. And who are the other names?
Jen V. from Idaho.
Was that Jenny V.?
Jen V.
Jen V, perfect. And who is from Ohio?
Jaylene from Idaho.
Jaylene.
Deborah G.
From Idaho. Deborah G.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, I have Beth P., Jen V., Jaylene from Idaho. I'll need your initial, Deborah G. and Jordan L. Beth P., please go ahead and share with us.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Beth P. in Hawaii, and I really related to this reading because it took a lot of recovered compulsive overeaters and a lot of recovered alcoholics to help me recognize my powerlessness. It took me relating to their shares, hearing my own story within their shares, recognizing my thinking patterns and my behavior patterns within their shares to start to recognize them within myself. There's absolutely no way I could have gotten the self-awareness or the self-reflection required to admit I was powerless, and that my life had become unmanageable, and I could not do this on my own. I could not figure it out on my own. And so I also had to really recognize the voice of the disease in my head versus the voice of higher power. The voice of disease speaks through my character defects, and the chief activator of all my defects of character is self-centered fear. Either I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I want, or I'm going to lose what I already have. And when I start to recognize, that's how the voice of the disease speaks to me. It's like compares me to other people. It makes me feel not good enough. It makes me get into this negative emotional state where I want to put something in my body to change the way I feel. And my disease is twofold. It's a substance and it's a behavior. The substance is alcoholic foods. The behavior is binging. And so there's a feeling that comes from eating the alcoholic foods. It's very similar to the feeling that I would get from drinking alcohol. And the behavior of binging, you know, doing it to excess, to check out, to numb out, or just to get high. And so the voice of my higher power has become the louder voice in my head, gratefully. And that is a voice of love, patience, tolerance, nurturing, comfort, forgiveness, unity consciousness, easy to love, easy to forgive, feeling deep, deep compassion and gratitude. And that voice speaks louder and louder, and it drowns out the voice of the disease until it becomes small and weak and almost laughable because it leads me to insanity. And today I can recoil from the thought of binging and from eating alcoholic foods as if from a hot flame. And thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Beth P. from Hawaii. Jenny Z, sorry about that. Jen Z from California, please share with us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Okay, great. My name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia from East Los Angeles, California. I apologize for my voice. I'm a little bit under the weather, but this paragraph I have highlighted, this process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. And to me, that means, like, I had to hit bottom. You know, I had to get to a point where I was desperate and I was willing, you know. And, you know, I believe that I have gotten to that point, but sometimes I forget, you know, like someone else was talking about, you know, forgetting and, you know, needing reminders. And, you know, it helps me to read the book, to be reminded, you know. I remember, you know, shoving chunks of vomit down the shower drain, you know, because I couldn't throw up in the toilet anymore because it was overflowing. And, you know, going to meetings and on the way to the meeting, stopping at all the fast food places and then purging in the bathroom before the meeting. You know, stuff like that. And that's stuff that I know that there are people in these rooms that understand. And, you know, that helps me a lot. And I'm kind of all over the place with my share, but, you know, I just wanted to open my mouth and check in. And, you know, this is a great paragraph. And, you know, it to me, it spells hope, you know, that there's hope, there's a way to recover. And I just have to, you know, remember that I can't do the job myself, that I'm powerless over this disease. And yeah, so I think that's all I've got. I just wanted, like I said, I just wanted to check in. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, for being here. I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Jen Z from California. Gaylene from Idaho, and please give me your initial, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Gaylene B. from Idaho. Thank you for all of your shares today and every day. They inspire me. And I've heard people in the meeting say, come inside the room and sit down. And I feel like I just kind of stand in the doorway and listen a little here, listen a little there. And I've definitely had a lot of ideas about how I can handle this disease And last Thanksgiving, I had had a lengthy abstinence. I'd been through the steps. I didn't have neutrality with food, but I was feeling good and enjoying the growth that was happening. My children were coming for Thanksgiving, and I was receiving warnings from my higher power to be careful, to be watchful, to take care of myself. And I didn't heed any of those warnings, and I lost my abstinence, and it has been a year of a lot of my own ideas, and it's been painful. I know that I need a sponsor again, and I guess I just want to get on and say that I'm committing to find a sponsor before the holiday season. I have this voice in my head that says, don't do it, don't you do it. You will never stay absent through the holidays. Wait till January. But I know what happened last holiday season, and I don't want to repeat that. I don't want the insanity of doing the same thing over and over again. So I'm really just showing up today to claim my seat, and knowing that the hope that I need comes from these rooms, the solution is in these rooms. And I'm really grateful for all of the service that you guys give and your shares. It really has kept, it's thrown me a lifeline. I feel really grateful for that. And that's really all I want to share today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gaylene B. from Idaho. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Jordan L., and then I'll take some more names.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone for your service making this meeting possible and all the shares, 12-step in me today and like was shared, reminding me, keeping me awake, keeping others awake, you know, to know that that's there. And the newcomer, you don't ever have to live like you're living right now because this is a beautiful life, a beautiful way to live. And I'm so grateful for it today. You know, I have to grin myself when I think about all the dishonest ideas and thoughts I would think about. I knew, I had an assessment, and I knew about this one alcoholic food. But in my mind, the dishonest justification, I can't give this up. I'll just switch to another kind. You know, and I just kept doing that. And, you know, it got to be a common thing for so long, continuing to relapse, that when I finally woke up, it was like it happened to me, not by me. I woke up and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, and probably others, I would imagine, saw me, you know, doing what I was doing, and never said anything. But I know when I was on this line and heard all of you and had hope that got in there, that hope got in there, and I was willing to just put that alcoholic food down, get myself a vision sponsor, and go through those steps. I was also in the middle of doing the Herb K workshop, going through the steps there. So doubled in that, doubled up and wrapped up in those beautiful 12 steps. And it was only through that, getting honest and admitting to myself that I was a compulsive overeater and that food was an alcoholic food for me. It wasn't until I did that did I get the abstinence that I have today, and I'm so grateful for it. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous, and reading the big book. So they grinned, which I didn't like so much. And I think that, you know, the two members that we're talking about here, I think it's Bill and Bob. But maybe I'm assuming that. Maybe I don't know for sure. But anyway, so if the two members show up here and they're grinning, I would imagine, based on my own experience with the 12 step, is that they're grinning because there is a possibility of a newcomer who is just might be licked and willing to do what it is that they have to do as far as a spiritual program of action is concerned, to surrender and recover as well from this, right? they're grinning because there's another person that's going to join the program here, join into this spiritual program of action, which is always really cool. And I it's only a member that can grin like that because it's only a member who's been there before and knows exactly the type of desperation, I guess you could say, that we're escaping, right? And they pile on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality, such as I had exhibited in Washington, was a hopeless condition. They cited dozens of cases. and that's really what A Vision for You did for me back in 2017, and still does today, right? Like, I still hear dozens of cases on the line. To the extent that I don't need to, like, there's no more that I need to confirm, you know. I can just concede these propositions and be here. this process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. I think that was really, really a turning point for me in my own recovery, was this process, right? Of hearing other compulsive overeaters, dozens of cases, so that I didn't have to do the job myself. So thanks for letting me share. That's what I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. I'm now going to take a couple more names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So are there a couple more people that would like to share on page 42, the first paragraph, starting with two members of Alcoholics Anonymous?
Joe M. from Minnesota.
Joe from Minnesota.
Irene C.
And Irene C. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, thank you for your service. My name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. You know, I know they talk about the promises of each step, or each step has a promise, or how will you know that you've done the step? And this is one of the ways that, you know, this is something I can ask myself. How do I know if I've done step one? Is that the last flicker of conviction that I can do the job myself has been snuffed out? And why is that a promise? Well, when I think about before I took step one, trying to have the hope that I can do the job myself was very painful. It was very demoralizing. Trying to figure out on my own in isolation, it was a horrible place to be. Trying and then failing and then trying and then failing and then trying and then failing over and over and over again for years and years and years and years, and could not do the job myself. So the fact that this last flicker of conviction that I can do the job myself has been snuffed out has been a wonderful reward of taking step one. The taking of step one itself is awful. Just awful. It's like a horrible tasting pill. It's the worst news that I could have ever been given. And it is the only bad news in my experience of the program. It's the only bad news in the program. Step one is the bad news. It's the awful news. But once I take that really horrible tasting pill and it comes inside of me and releases its chemicals, now it becomes the good news on the other side of it. So having this, the flicker of conviction snuffed out, what I would have thought before recovery, that would be like a really horrible thing. Now it's a great thing because now I've got the open door to the rest of the program that I can then grab onto and become changed and have a completely different view of myself, of the world, and have recovery. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe M. from Minnesota. Irene C., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Irene, initial C. I am from California. And as I used to say on the radio, I'm a long-time caller. So I've listened to all of you on Vision since 2018, but this is the first time that I've shared. The part that struck me today in the paragraph is that they of their own experience by the dozen. And for me, that's the most important or most attractive, I guess, aspect of the program is listening to the sharing and sort of grabbing onto it as the day, as, you know, throughout the day. So on a daily basis, I think about the shares that I've heard on the meeting and ask God to of those so I can come up with some of the things that I've heard that day or even days before or weeks before and utilize those in my day to kind of remind me of where I was and where I'm going and the fact that it is, as others have said before, I is for illness and we is for wellness. And that has been the most important thing for me. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Irene C. from California. And we have just a time for like a minute share, if someone would like to take that. Maybe we'll go ahead and just give some more name or more time for newcomers to announce their names and numbers. So if you are new, please stick around till the end of the meeting. We're going to end the meeting now with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Reggie O. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn, everybody. What a great meeting. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered in Texas today, and this is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.